I'd like to share with you just a very brief observation. In this parsha, Parshas Bo, there's probably one of the most famous comments from the Ramban, at the end of the parsha, where he talks about Yetzias Mitzrayim. And he explains how the miracles that the Klal Yisrael, and the Mitzrim for that matter, witnessed in Mitzrayim, public miracles, starting with Dom, Tzvardeya, Kinim, all the way through, and culminating actually in the Kriyas Yamsuf. These miracles debunked philosophies at the time which were very off base. What were the philosophies? Some people said, well, the world was a kadmoy. The world existed forever, no creator. Other people said, oh, the creator, yeah, of course. This world couldn't happen by accident and it couldn't exist forever. But you know what happened? He created the world and he went to sleep. He had enough, he retired. I gotta get involved, keep involved, stay involved. Why should he? He retired, fine. Other people said, maybe he's still involved, but he sure is not gonna talk to human beings. That's something that he would never do. God, the creator, the controller, the ruler, he's gonna bother to talk to lowly human beings. And Yetzias Mitzrayim debunked all of these philosophies. Because we saw the Creator in action. When the Jew drank together with the Mitzri from a cup, and one drank water and the other one drank blood, you saw creation. When the frogs were swarming all over Mitzrayim, except where there was a Jew, no, not even go near him. It was in their stomachs, it was in their mouths, it was in their eyes, in their noses, in their pockets, in their not with a Jew. When they stood in the same room during Makas Choshech and the Jew was looking around, broad daylight, shining light, seeing everything, seeing all the stuff that the Mitzrim had, so later on when it comes to go out, they'll be able to tell him if you don't, oh, of course you have, what are you talking about? You have nothing, look over there, look over here. And the Mitzri, in the same room, frozen in a pillar of darkness, couldn't see enough to move, it was so thick he couldn't even move. We saw Hashem, we saw Hashem's involvement. We saw the Creator. We see that he's involved. He's still involved, not just creation. Here we are. He's involved in Mitzrayim. And when Moshe Rabbeinu comes and tells Paro what's going to happen, and it happens according to schedule, and then when it's going to end, and it ends according to schedule, we see that Hashem still speaks to human beings. And these are the yesoidos, the basics of our emunah, and we learn them from Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Ramban then continues and says, from the Nisim Gluyim that took place, the blatant public miracles that took place, the public realization of Hashem's involvement in our lives, of Hashem's involvement as creator, of Hashem's detailed involvement with every aspect. Imagine that, one Jew and one Goy standing together drinking from a cup, he's drinking water, he's drinking blood. One little room, the Jew and the Mitzri standing together, he's in the light and he's frozen in the darkness. He's involved with every intricate and minute detail. And from there we learn that Hashem is involved with our lives. And there's Hashkocha Protis. From the Nisim Gluyim, the Ramban says, we learn to recognize the hidden miracles, the Nisim Nistorim, which are the essence of our lives. And I just want to share with you one story which I think depicts this in a very interesting way. Many years ago, in Los Angeles, we put on a seminar, an outreach seminar for people that were not yet religious. There was a young man who was at the seminar, and I remember there at the time I gave a talk about tefillah, you know, turning to Hashem and asking for things that you want, about bitochon, about putting our trust in Hashem, about not giving up, not despairing, not losing hope, and so forth, and how this has a real effect on what happens. And this young man was very taken by that lecture, fine. About 6 months later, I went back to some follow-up. I gave a lecture there, a follow-up session. And he comes running over to me at the end. He said, I gotta tell you something. You gotta hear this. This is really, you know, unbelievable. I said, what happened? He says, I came home from the seminar Sunday night. I think it was like from Thanksgiving weekend, from Wednesday night to Sunday night. And I came home and my mother was in shambles. She was all upset, she was crying. She was a single parent, supporting herself and her family, and she had to make a wedding that Thursday night for my sister, and she was short $15,000 for what she needed for the wedding. And she had no way, no means, no hope, no way to get this money. She was broken. And I told her, I said, you know, I just was at this lecture, and I heard there's a God in the world. And when you speak to him, he hears you, and he listens, and he gets involved. And if you trust him, if you rely on him, if you count on him, if you don't lose hope and you hope to him, things happen. And I inspired my mother, he said, to be a little bit more optimistic, a little bit more positive, a little bit more reliant and hopeful that Hashem would help. 2 days later, a woman comes into her. She used to sell costume jewelry. Costume jewelry means cheap, $15, $20, $25 pieces of, you know, necklaces, bracelets, earrings, these things. They're cheap stuff, not expensive stones. A woman comes in and says, here's your lousy necklace. Says, I brought it back 5 times. Every time she put it on, the clasp would break. And you fixed it, and you fixed it again, and you gave it to your jeweler to fix again and again and again. I'm not interested anymore. Give me back my $15. It was a $15 piece. Give me back my $15 and leave me alone. I don't want to take your stupid necklace. Fine. All right. $15 she gave her back. That wasn't going to make or break her when she needed $15,000 for the wedding, you know. But she was very curious. What happened? Why? What's going on over here? So she took it back to her jeweler. I guess she had this jeweler that used to work for her and do, you know, she some separate business, but he used to be a, and she said, you gotta figure out what's wrong. Why is it every time you fix this, it breaks down again? So he really took it seriously this time. He put on his thing there, his lens to look, and he looks and he sees, and he says, I'll give you $15,000 for this necklace right now. This was not costume jewelry. This was the real thing, real stones, real pearls, I think it was. And he paid her $15,000 for that necklace. And of course, she had the money to make her wedding at the end of the week. And this kid said the most amazing thing. She had no clue where the money was going to come from. And this woman had been coming back 5 times, having it fixed, and all of a sudden she just gave up. She says, here's your necklace, give me my $15. And she goes to find out what it is. And turns out it's a $15,000 piece, just what she needed to be able to make the wedding. And this kid says to me, he says, had I not told my mother that there's a God in the world, and that you can talk to him, and that he gets involved, and that he listens to prayer, and that when you refuse to give up hope and you count on him, he responds, and when you put your trust in him, he's there for you. I don't believe this whole thing would ever have happened. And I think that that's really the lesson. If we don't pay attention, we can see Hashem's involvement in our lives pass right before our eyes and not even notice it. We have to pay attention. Once we learn from Yetzias Mitzrayim that Hashem created the world and he continues to maintain control over creation, that Hashem continues to be involved in even the most minutest details of one individual's life, as drinking from the same cup, or as sitting, standing in the same room, and so forth. And when we see that Hashem still communicated with Moshe Rabbeinu, communicated with Nevi'im later, even today, if he doesn't communicate in that type of communication, but through, Chazal tell us, Chochom Odef Minovi, a Talmud Chochem who bases his decisions on Torah is even greater than a Novi. What do you mean? A Novi tells us the future. Torah says the Talmud Chochem doesn't have to tell us the future. But when we follow the Torah, Hashem is guiding us to the future, guiding us to the right way. This is what you're supposed to do, and he takes care of us. When we see the extent of that involvement, then it gives us the ability to see in our lives everything. And if we look into our lives, we will all discover Hashem's involvement in so many of our details. And I thought it was appropriate because I understand next week you have midterms. I'm going to suggest a good idea for the midterms. It's not a substitute for studying. No, you have to study. You have to do a shtadlus. certainly is a substitute for something else, which I wouldn't even want to mention because I'm sure that doesn't happen here. Anybody have any idea what that is? I was hoping nobody would have the idea. Okay, that's right. Nobody here would dare to do a thing like that. But what it does do is it gives me the confidence. You know something? I studied, and Hashem's going to help me. And I even ask him, please help me. And you know something? You can even ask him for a specific question. That's not called cheating. Don't ask the guy next to you for the answer, but you can ask Hashem. And you know something? When we do our thing, and we count on him, and we rely on him, and we turn to him, he helps us. He helps us in many, many ways. We have to know it. We have to see it. We have to believe it. We have to feel it. He helps us. So I think that if we realize, and Yetzias Mitzrayim is the perfect backdrop to realize this, of how Hashem is involved with every little detail of our lives, I think it could be a very useful tool in succeeding in so many different ways. And don't think that Hashem considers anything too petty to be involved with. And with this, I'll leave you just with a little story. I was once learning with a young man who was becoming a Baal Tshuva, and we got delayed, and he had to catch the Long Island Railroad, and he asked me if I can give him a ride because he's going to miss the train. And as we were driving, this was in Cedarhurst at the time, and we passed this on Weiss's Stationery. It used to be a stationery store on Central Avenue. And he says, oh, you know, I need something there for the train. I have to work on something. If I could just wait a minute, I go in and I'll get it. And I said, oh, my daughter asked me to get her a pen that she needed over there, and I forgot all about it. If you could, I'll give him money, you know, if you go in and please get this, I'd appreciate it too. Fine. He comes out, and I think, hey, I got a chance to teach this Baal Tshuva a lesson. I said, look at that. Look how Hashem concerns himself with even little details in our lives. We were delayed. You asked me for a ride to the train. We happened to pass the stationery store. You happened to need something in the store. That triggered my memory, which otherwise I would have forgotten. And I got my daughter got her pen. Look how Hashem concerns himself for the little things in life. And this guy looks at me with rachmonis and says, Rabbi, you don't get it. Hashem does not concern himself with little things in life. To him, whether your daughter has that pen or not is very significant. And that's a very profound lesson. We shouldn't think, oh, it's just a question on the test. It's only worth 3 points. What's Hashem going to concern himself with such little things? To him, it's not a little thing. Anything that makes us happy, anything that makes us successful, anything that makes us well, anything that has to do with doing chesed for us is of major concern to Hashem. And I certainly hope that you guys succeed with your midterms and keep the focus on what goes on from upstairs to down here.